The author of this psalm isn't specifically identified. Some Bibles carry a little heading at the head of the psalm that says it was written for the sons of Korah. Again, individuals are not personally identified. But that actually is probably a benefit, because it means we don't focus on the individual, but rather we focus on the desire and the sentiments that he expresses. And you can see from these opening words, the writer's greatest desire is simply to know the Lord in closer fellowship. And beloved, can we say from the outset, and I don't miss this, if our hearts can't express this same sentiment, then we're either backslidden or not saved at all. I don't say that lightly. How many of us today can honestly say and mean it, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God? What was your desire as you left home to come to this meeting? Or maybe some were watching online, I don't know. What's your desire this morning? Was it to meet with God? Or did you just come out of habit? I'm not saying this to be critical. It applies to the preacher as well as the hearer. Was your desire to come and hear what the Lord would have to say to your heart? If this was foremost on your mind, are you willing to do business with God today? Are you willing for God to change you where change is needed? This word thirsteth is very emphatic. It's first used over in Exodus chapter 17, where the children of Israel turned against Moses. I'm sure you know the history. They complained about the lack of water in the wilderness. Exodus 17:3 reads, "And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Some of you may have animals, I don't know. But you'll know that how much they need water. Of course, it's never in short supply in this country. I appreciate that. But if they don't get water soon, if the livestock had to go for maybe days on end or weeks on end without water, and we're thinking here of Israel, of course, in a warm climate, if they had to go for long periods without water, I think they'll soon let you know. And if those same animals don't get it, you can imagine them practically roaring their heads off because of their thirst. That's the kind of thirst the psalmist is describing here. This word panteth, it means braying or howling. Howling for water. Of course, he's not thirsty for water in the physical sense. He's literally crying out for the presence of God. Such are the pangs of his longing after his Lord. Do we really know anything about it? He's in desperation to meet with God. How many of us know anything of that experience? We're in God's house. But isn't it so easy to go through the motions, sing the hymns, bow in prayer, read the word, listen to the preacher and go home? Do we really, honestly, allow ourselves to meet with the Lord? Because let's face it, the Lord has a desire to meet with us. This congregation is as important to the Lord as any congregation of thousands. Never write yourself off as being unimportant. If the Lord has saved you, you're special to him. He's chosen you. Way back in eternity, he chose you to be his. Now, if that doesn't give you desires, think of what he has promised to you. Think what he has already done for you, saved you, blotted out your sins, promised to supply every need, meets you, whatever your circumstances, he's there with the answer to that problem. And then he's promised you a home in heaven. Would that not stir your soul to learn to love him, to love him more? This society that we live in is doing all it can these days to deny God. Man doesn't want God. The attitude of men today is, we'll not have this man to reign over us. Man wants to do that which is right in his own eyes. Yet he still somehow expects some place of pleasure after he leaves the scene of time. So don't talk to him about repentance. Don't talk about getting ready to meet the Lord. He doesn't want to hear about his sin. He wants to go out into some fancy eternity and take his sin with him. It's not going to happen. Can't you thank God today that he ever opened your eyes to see your need of the Savior? Isn't it funny how people can pant after position, after power? They want to be seen as forerunners. They want the front line. They want their name in lights. They want to be known for whatever achievements they have. All the while, maybe all the Lord wants is for them just to do a wee work for him. Stay low. What was it Sam Houston used to say? Stay low, go slow, and don't blow. There's something in it. Can you imagine this heart? We're speaking, this is part of the deer family. As it happens, the heart, according to the English dictionary, the heart is the name given to the male of the red deer family when it reaches the age of 5 years. I can't explain that, but that's what's in the dictionary. I understand that a deer can live usually to 11 or 12 years. Sometimes they reach 20. But they don't get old. But that just means that a 5-year-old has lived probably nearly half of his life. Or at least a quarter of it. What percentage of your life, beloved, have you spent thirsting after God? To think that a 5-year-old can thirst for water. Can we draw the parallel and say, can a 5-year-old child thirst after God? Listen, doesn't it do your soul good to hear a child pray? We could learn from them, couldn't we? A child asks and expects to get. Do we come to the Lord praying but never expecting an answer? Well, God delivers from unbelief. Do you know what? The heart of many problems is the problem of the heart. We really don't expect the Lord to answer our prayer. Shame on us. When we come, didn't God say, ask and you shall receive? What have you been praying for? Have you got the answer yet? Have you given up because the answer didn't come? Sometimes the Lord keeps us waiting. But the answer will come. His answer. It'll come in his time. Don't give up praying. Thinking of this animal and its thirst. I'm sure you've seen nature programs. Some of these animals roam in wide open terrain. Sometimes grass is plentiful, sometimes it's not. The amount of green vegetation may be limited. And even they don't have all those square miles of grassland to themselves. They have to share the territory with other beasts such as the lion, tiger, hyena. Beasts that kill to live. Would very soon make a dinner out of the deer. So it's nothing new for a whole herd to have to run for their lives. They're swift on their feet. Sometimes not swift enough. And the inevitable happens. And even without being hunted, at times the place is so dry, vegetation so scarce, these animals may have to travel for days before finding water. Then, if they're being hunted, then their thirst is only aggravated. So you can understand how important a simple drink of water becomes. And you can put yourself in that position. Again, we We don't know much in this part of the world about a shortage of water. But you can understand the dryness, that choking in the throat, just for want of moisture. This is how the psalmist sees himself. Thirsting, not for water, but for God. He must have the Lord at all costs. His very existence depends upon it. Do we know anything about it? Is such an experience a common thing with us? Have we ever been in a situation where we've said, I must have the Lord. Give me Christ or I die. Well, we know what it is to pine after amusement, don't we? We can happily run after the outings, the shopping expedition, the trips to some form of entertainment or pastime. But how much time do we give to looking for and longing after God? Just how much do we appreciate all that He has done for us, for those who are saved? Are we content with what we get in an hour on a Sunday morning? Or 2 hours if you come back in the evening? What about Monday? What about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, through to Saturday? You know, some people who are anxious to lose weight, they have this gastric band fitted. Causes the stomach to accept very little food. In other words, very little fills them, and consequently they lose weight. But how many of God's people put themselves on a skimpy diet? And what they get on Sunday morning has to do them all week. Can that be healthy? Tell me, does your spiritual appetite match your physical appetite? Searching, isn't it? It would appear here that the psalmist had been put in a position where he wasn't able to get out to the house of God. Now that could apply to any number of people. It could have applied to David when he was on the run from Absalom. He didn't appear in public as his life was in danger. It could have applied to Hezekiah, who was lying on a sick bed and was sure he was going to die, only the Lord intervened. But isn't it the truth, beloved? If you aren't well, and I know some are absent this morning because of sickness, and we feel for them, doesn't it make the Lord's day a long day if you can't get out to God's house? And some, regrettably, are closed in maybe for weeks, months on end. We feel for them. Thank God the Lord can come and meet them in their circumstances. But if you're fit and well, you should thank God you're able to be in His house. Be there. Be part of the work. Come to church not for what you can get out of it, for what you can put into it. And the Lord will bless you. Thank God if the Sabbath is a long day for you because you can't get out. It's a good sign if you miss it. Very worrying to see how some of God's people can content themselves with just the one meeting on the Lord's Day, and there seems to be no desire to meet the second time with Him. Beloved, we feel for those who are closed in and can't get out. We need to be careful that we don't get so comfortable in those circumstances. We don't want to come back. I was preaching in one of our churches up the country a few weeks ago. I was told, there's a couple out this morning. I'm talking only, it was earlier this year, beginning of January. There's a couple in church. They're out for the first time since COVID. Why? No problem going to the supermarket. But getting out to church, isn't it sad that we can lose heart? Yes, the social media certainly has its benefits. But I'm sure you're aware that Facebook are clamping down on what they will broadcast. They find our message offensive. And of course, people are going out of their way these days to be offended. That's another subject. Listen, if you haven't got the desire to be in God's house and to be seeking the Lord as often as you could, as you should be, You need to cry to God that he would draw your heart out after himself. Some people argue, well, the Bible doesn't command us to meet twice on the Lord's Day. If you read Exodus 29, you'll discover that God commanded the people keep a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. Anyway, if you love the Lord, when you want to be with to meet with him as often as possible, if he saved you from going down to hell, is that not reason to love him? Here's a man. For some reason he's been missing fellowship with the Lord. Now whether he couldn't get out to God's house, or maybe something had come into his life that had drawn him away from the Lord, we're not told the circumstances. But he has reached a point where the enjoyment of communion with the Lord is now the most urgent need of his soul. And thank God he recognized it. Give him his God and he's as content as any heart that at length finds that water hole where its thirst is quenched to the full satisfaction. Deny him his Lord and his heart palpitates in his breast. His frame is convulsed. He gasps for breath. He pants like one who has just run a marathon. You ever felt like that, beloved, about your Savior? Does God mean that much to you? Well, presumably he means something, otherwise you wouldn't be here. It may be you're so used communicating with the Lord, so used talking to him in prayer, so accustomed to sharing all your innermost feelings with him and adoring him that you've never really thought what it would be like to be without him. Is it not so that the next best thing to living in the light of his love is being unhappy until you find it? You'll understand how those who abuse themselves with drugs, they crave after more. They just have to have that next fix. We feel for them. Such is the effect of those drugs upon them that do anything to get more. They just have to have it. The addict doesn't deny what he's doing. It's just once the body has tried these things, the craving is instant. Of course, it's destroying the body, but he can't get away from it. It gets a hold of the user, and he can't break free. Of course, the Lord can set him free. But when the child of God gets a taste of Christ, a real taste of life that he gives, he must have more of him. Oh, that we might crave after him as the addict does after his habit. In the Lord's presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Beloved, when it's natural for us to thirst after God, as natural as it is for the hart, the young deer, to thirst after water, then it is well with our souls. Let's move on here. Notice the dismay of his soul. He's missing God. Verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? To thirst here means to have a craving for a drink accompanied by a dryness in the mouth and throat, an eager yearning for water. To be totally without something to wet your mouth for a prolonged period, it can lead to all sorts of problems, such as dehydration, which in turn can lead to a loss of the senses. But do we really know what it is to crave after God as one craves in such dire circumstances? Such a craving is a mark of grace. Beloved, if we did know this craving, we'd be in revival. My soul thirsteth for God. Now, he doesn't say I'm thirsting for the blessing of God, much as he would enjoy that. Nor is he thirsting for his temple, though that's a good thing. He's not thirsting for the ordinances, important though they be, but for him, for God himself, for fellowship with his Maker and Redeemer. Why did the psalmist thirst after God? Because God lives and he gives life. He has something for the good of the soul that this world, 10,000 worlds, would never give. And if you try to satisfy your soul in the things of this world, beloved, you're on a hiding to nothing. David said in Psalm 63, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." Remember the Lord Jesus at the well? He said to that dear woman, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that seeketh or saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." John 4:10. Thank God, where the child of God is concerned, we have tasted the living water. We don't need to drink any more of the broken cisterns of this old world. But are we as thirsty for God today as we were the day we were sealed? Remember that day? You know, it's sad that for some people, salvation is little more than fire insurance. That's sad. It may be that this writer was in poor health, that he couldn't even bring himself to seek the Lord in prayer. I'm sure you maybe felt like that. If you're unwell or you're lying in a sick bed, it's very hard to pray, isn't it? Ah, but listen, don't be discouraged. Because at times like that, the Lord knows your heart. He knows when his children are laid aside. And he exercises other of God's people to pray for you. Isn't it good to pray for each other? And if somebody's at home on a sick bed today, praise the Lord, there are people praying for you. Isn't it so when you're... Yes, it's hard to pray, but listen. Of course, I understand, at times they got the devil will come in and say, "Oh, you're not much of a believer, you don't want to pray." But the Lord made the physical frame, and when it's down, it's difficult. Of course it is. But don't listen to the devil. Never let occasions like that get you down. God loves you, and he'll have somebody pray for you. Whatever has come between the writer here and God, he's reached the point where he just longs to be able to get back to the place of fellowship, just to come before the Lord and be seen of him. Isn't he worth thirsting after? Well, let's encourage each to seek from God that greater desire after himself for your own spiritual good. Aye, and for the good of your children and your children's children. Beloved, if parents are maybe careless about the things of God, and we can't expect the children to be out and out for God, can we? They follow example. Influence is a very serious matter. More important than many realize. But your behavior, beloved, is an influence on somebody. You can be sure somebody's watching you. And it's so important that you are found in the right place with the Lord. If you allow your garden to become, if you don't attend to it and allow it to become overgrown with weeds, it becomes an eyesore. But think of this house where we're met today. If God's people didn't maintain prayer times with the Lord, seeking his blessing upon the work here, if the praying was left to the older generation, and none of us are getting any younger, but if it was left to the older generation, they would eventually all die off. Young people need to get involved in the prayer times of the church. There's a place for everybody. Because let's face it, if we don't encourage the young to grow in grace and walk with the Lord, then the day will come when those doors will be closed and the place will be an edifice to neglect, and it will become the off-scarring of society. They say, that crowd, they're nowhere, they're gone. Pray for the young. Those of you who are older, pray with them. Encourage the young. Help them to get involved. Do what they can. You do what you can to lead them and encourage them in the Lord's work. The desire of this man's soul, seeking God. The dismay of his soul, he was missing God. But notice lastly here, the delight of his soul in trusting God. Here's a dear individual, and he's really going through the valley. He says in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night. While they continue, they say unto me, where is thy God? It's bad enough when a child of God has to go through some dark valley in his spiritual experience. But here's one. Now people are sniping at him, asking him, where's your God? As if to suggest that the Lord has left him. In verse 4, he reflects on times he used to enjoy the Lord's house. He says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. By comparison, those days were like days of revival. Those were times when he rejoiced the most. But isn't it the truth? You don't miss the water till the well runs dry. Isn't it sad to see that some people can absent themselves from God's house and not miss it? And here's a dear soul, and he's driven to tears because he can't get out. When we consider that none of us are getting any younger, stands to reason. The future of this church lies very much in the hands of the youth of today. Speaking to one of our ministers one day, and he was telling me that 80% of his congregation attend the midweek prayer meeting. That's some testimony. And the majority of them are young people. Ah, that's encouraging, isn't it? Young people need to seek after God. If you read history, the history of Ireland, you discover that just 100 years ago in County Mayo, there was a thriving witness for God. The gospel was freely preached. Souls were being won to Christ. Churches in that county were well attended. Hundreds of people were known to be walking with God. There was something of a spiritual revival. That was only 100 years ago. But in that county today, there's virtually no trace of that kind of work going on. I met a lady at the ploughing outreach a couple of years ago. She came from County Mayo. In fact, she got sealed in the marquee. But she said, there's nowhere near me of any evangelical witness. And she was going to have to travel quite a distance to get anything that resembled gospel preaching. Isn't it sad? Oh, God bless the witness of this denomination. And we're not boasting denomination here. But God bless the witness back in the 60s and 70s. Many weren't in it that time. Weren't in that generation. That's why we say to our young folk, you need to be seeking God for yourselves. For his blessing on your generation. Well, let us learn from the tragedy of County Mayo. Thank God some here who are that bit older are still walking with God, still holding on to the Lord for the work in prayer. But who's going to keep up the momentum? Who is there coming behind that's going to seek the face of God to keep the door open? I don't want to sound morbid, but those who are old are not always going to be here. Let me say to those who are young in our midst, and I say this with the greatest of respect, if you don't get involved in the place of prayer now, come and seek the Lord's face while you're young. Then the time may come and the work here will cease. Responsibility is yours to be up and at it now. Get into the Lord's work now. There's something for everybody to do. Our prayer meetings ought to be the best attended meetings in all our churches. Older people can't pass on God's blessing to the next generation. They've got to seek it for themselves. Do it while you have the health and strength, beloved, to be at God's house. Don't wait till you end up in a nursing home and you can't get out anywhere. I'm not asking you to do it for your minister's benefit. It's for your own benefit and for your children coming after you. Let's encourage everyone. Cry to God for a move of His Spirit, even in this district. Now, the psalmist, notice how he prays in the words of verse 6, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." That term, cast down, it means to be couched over, to be sunk in depression. Beloved, if you get away from the Lord, you're guaranteed to feel miserable in yourself and probably make everybody around you miserable. The only way to break that is to be at the place of prayer. The writer here remembers times when he used to walk that hill country in sweet communion with his Lord. And the memories of those times now bring refreshing to his soul. And so he started talking to himself. He caught himself on, as they say. Matters were put right between him and the Lord. He concludes his psalm by saying, "Look at me, all cast down, down in the dumps, and for what? Oh, my soul, get a grip of yourself. Hope thou in God," he says. "For I shall yet praise him, who's the health of my countenance and my God." He's saying, I don't need these little hills now. I have a rock to stand on. I've got Christ. And he's promised he'll never leave me nor forsake me. No matter how far down he may have been, he knows the Lord will never leave him alone. And so he anticipates God's sweet presence to be his abiding portion. God is faithful. God is love. Aye, people mocked him. But as far as he's concerned, if the scoffers want to say, "Where's your God?" he can say with blessed assurance, "He's here. I've got him in my heart. He's waiting to deliver me from your discouragements. He's standing by to rescue me from your hands." And with that glad statement, faith closes the struggle. He's a victor in anticipation. His heart is firm. Well, the saddest countenance is made to shine when he takes God at his word. He remembers his emptiness and casts himself upon the Lord, and he goes on his way rejoicing. You feeling down in the mouth today, beloved? Life getting you down? What's wrong? Are you out of fellowship with the Lord? Cry to God that he'll give you that desire to pant after him as the young hart pants after the water brooks. Consider what God has waiting for you. The blessings he has in store. Now, there's nothing to substitute the blessing of God. Here's the Lord has saved you. He's kept you. Be encouraged. He has blessings in abundance for you. If you would just determine to let him bless you. Read that 11th verse over and over. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Matthew 5 and 6, and with this I close. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Why? "For they shall be filled." Oh, may God create within each one of us that thirsting of soul after himself. Beloved, here you have the potential for revival. If it breaks out in your heart, and it breaks out in this congregation, it'll spread, you can be sure. They'll feel the effects of it in Bangor, in Belfast, down the peninsula. They'll feel it, it'll spread. Pray the Lord to start that fire in your soul, even today. May the Lord bless you and make you to be a blessing. I trust he'll encourage you even in these things for his name's sake.